oh shit, a little Grand Funk fucking Railroad to get 2013 started. The church is back. Hit it, Lee. This is the fucking cowboy he was talking about. Right on Saturday Night Live. Hit it, Lee. Brody Stevens, I'll call you back with a number to call in about an hour, right? We're just starting the podcast, baby. Let me call you back. Oh, shit, the church. Happy New Year. Lee Syatt, the Flying Jew. Joey hey, Diaz coming at you. Listen, we usually do the podcast Mondays and Wednesday morning. We haven't been on the air for 2 weeks, and what happened was my wife, I took her to the hospital today. For starters, thank you for the fucking love and the support and everything you've given us on the show and throughout the fucking last year, but the support you guys have given me the last couple days with my wife. Let me tell you something. I went in there like a soldier on Friday, Lee. Not, I didn't pass out. First off, I got a needle in my ass last fucking Wednesday. You know what happened the last time I got a needle in my ass with a fucking rash I had?
No.
I fucking passed out. I had to sit at the doctor's office for an hour with my shirt open. My titties were hanging out. I had sweat beads lighting up off my fucking head. This time I went down Wednesday. I said, you know what? I'm going to go for this fuck. First off, the warm-up to the whole pregnancy was the Joe Lozon fight that night with all that fucking blood. That was it. If I could put up with Joe Lozon's fucking head, you could put up with fucking anything. You follow me? From there, I went for a needle last Wednesday, which was like 2 days after New Year's. We took her to the doctor the day before New Year's Eve, that Monday.
Yeah.
And they said that if she didn't have the doctor, but if she didn't have the baby by Wednesday, that she should just, you know, drop in fucking Friday. So we went there Friday. They checked her out and they said, listen, there ain't nothing we could do for you unless you want to induce, but she wants to play fucking Johnny Natural, so she doesn't want to induce, which I don't blame her. There's a lot of chemicals out there. Why, you know, everyone you could cut down on. So she said, fuck it, I just come back. So they told us to call this morning. And yesterday I took her to this place, Criati's on Tujunga Boulevard in Studio City. It's got this big reputation that if you eat their salad, you go into fucking labor within 24 fucking hours. When she woke up this morning, she said, fuck that salad. The salad didn't do dick, but they have all right pizza. Criati's, and they give you a notebook, and they give you all the articles. The articles were in Newsweek and Playboy and the LA Times and all these medical journals that, for some reason, the lemon juice that they put in the fucking... In the dressing makes women go into labor when they have it, but my wife didn't go into fucking labor.
Oh, jeez.
Like that. So this morning we called. I had a dream that she called and they said to come in at 3. I woke up and I get a call and she's like, yeah. She called and they said, come in at 12. So we got there like 12:15. They put her in. They go, you know what? You're there, but not really. But we're going to admit, you just stay. We're going to put a balloon or something. So we hung out there. You know what? I fell asleep in the fucking room. The doctor came in. You know, she had the little robe on. She had to show her monkey in her ass. It's hysterical because you don't know how much you really love a woman until you go through this. This is when you really realize it's fucking rough. It's fucking rough. And I don't like that shit as it is. But I went over there on Friday and I was a soldier. Today I was a soldier. But they had to put this little balloon they put in your little monkey to soften up the cervix. To break the cervix or whatever. I don't know the right terminology. I ain't no fucking, you know, doctor people. So I sat through that, which was, listen, man, I don't like, I love you, Lee, you fucking flying Jew cocksucker. I wouldn't want to see you getting stitched up. That's the last thing I need, never mind a surgery or a doctor putting a fucking pole in your little fucking monkey, you know. And they did that, and we hung out. She goes, she was going to take a nap. You know, so I went home, I fed the cats, had to clean the litter box, had to send some emails to some people. And I called Lee and I go, Lee, you know what? She's gonna pop overnight. So instead of me having to stop the popping and come over here and do a podcast and then drive back 2 hours in traffic, because from here tomorrow morning it's gonna be fucking hell at 8 o'clock.
Oh yeah.
I'd rather get up at 5 and shoot to the hospital, hang out nice and early. If she has it at 2, fucking I'm prepared. I got a chocolate bar in me, you know what I'm saying? I got a little of that Auntie Dolores. I got some popcorn left. She sent us a fucking box, Lee.
Oh, sweet.
So I got a couple of presents for you. We're gonna get fucked up next week on the show in the morning, like we did last week. Now you gotta know where to go. Now I'll get you high and you can just boom, 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 roll right into bed.
That's true.
Lisa Ayat moved into the new studios. Fucking, we don't really have a name yet. I don't really want to. If somebody suggested the Jew Nest, it's okay. But we got to give it something more. This is Lisa Ayat. You know what I'm saying? Coming at you like the big black fucking kahuna. Happy New Year, cocksucker. This is it. You got one more chance. Look at Lee with the fucking Israeli flag behind him. Representing, motherfucker. I got the poster that my man meant. Mashivitz. Look at this. I got a diet fucking Pepsi. I feel like a traitor. I'm a Coke man. If I'm going to drink diet soda, I might as well go with Diet Coke. I'm stoned to the gills. Did I tell you motherfuckers that? I sat at the hospital 7 hours sober. No football.
You didn't watch football?
There was no, they didn't move us into the TV room. First you go into the, you know, access room. By the time they moved me into the TV room, there was 8 minutes left in the game.
Oh, those are two good games, too. You miss it.
Well, you know what? A lot of people, what's going on with Ray Lewis? Talk to me, because you know.
He's retiring.
How old is he?
Probably close to 40. I think he's like late 30s.
He looks great.
Yeah, he's been in the league for like 20 years. He tore his bicep or tricep, one of those. Right. And they thought he might come back this year. And he practiced before the playoffs, but he just decided he's 40 and he wants to go out on a high note. And
I ain't mad. Remember all that shit that year? Remember all that shit that went down with him? He stabbed the dude.
Oh, yeah.
They threw him in jail. How great was that? Nobody ever opened their mouth.
Oh, really? See, I didn't. I've heard the story, but I didn't. I wasn't.
I don't know the whole deal. I don't think anybody opened his mouth.
Yeah, he didn't go to jail for a long time for it.
So. No. He stayed out. He paid the attorney, but he stayed in there for a while. I don't remember. I got to read up on it. I don't remember that shit. How much time people do? It's fucking embarrassing. But it was great. Whatever happened, he stabbed it through the nightclub after the Super Bowl. That's the best time to stab somebody if you're gonna fucking take him to the hoop. You might as well get him. Da, 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 you know what I'm saying? Happy New Year, cocksucker. Here, Monday morning, for you people who ain't watching, it's 9 p.m. here on the West Coast, smoking fucking reefer like a motherfucker. And on the East Coast, it's midnight. You motherfuckers are passed out. It's over. That's it. The holiday season's over. And I got to tell you, listen, guys, I'm going to be as honest as I can with you. My wife has been home since December 16th. You know when the last time I had somebody home was? When I was in the fucking seventh grade. That's the last time I had somebody at home in the daytime. And Lee, I got to tell you, you have no idea how hard it is when you work from home and you're used to being alone at home. And now somebody's at fucking home all day. You know, it took me 2 weeks just to write a note in the daytime.
And you don't have your office anymore either.
No, they took everything from me. They took it all. I'm like fucking Noriega. They took it all. No, they took everything from me. I got a little fucking corner and I'm going to get an office. I'm done. I'm getting an office. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to?
Mm-hmm. I got to disappear. Listen, the economy's fucking horrible. They got offices in the corner. They got a couple Armenian dentists selling nickel bags out of there. They got some tattoo chick. You go in there, they got to get some back little fucking offices. You go back there, what can it cost you? $300 a month?
Yeah.
$400 a fucking month? That's $100 a week for peace of mind. You understand me? I bring the computer. I get the fucking notebook. I get the pen. I get a little reefer. I get a fucking... nothing, you know. And I write, and you sit, and you meditate, you stretch a little bit. You know, I'm a big stretcher.
You're going to stretch in an office?
Yeah, it's nice to stretch. When you write, man, you fucking stretch. You make a note, you stretch, you fucking stretch. That's what yoga's about. You breathe, and all of a sudden, as you're going to go take a shower, boom, you get a fucking left hook, and you get an idea, dog. Come on.
Okay.
Who the fuck you think you're dealing with? Some novice here? Leland, talk to me about New England. Talk to me. The viewers want to know, first off, listen, I took him down to the Joe Rogan show. The chick was waiting. There was two broads.
There was no one waiting.
This fucking poor kid, guys, called me 18 times on the way there. Now, you know what? I know he was going to hook up with this nice girl in Boston. I didn't want to hurt her feelings and embarrass her. You can't. She don't want to fuck. Who wants to kiss somebody after some fucking chick farted in your fucking face? Even though this chick's cute and she might go for it. So, but I didn't want to do that to Lee. So we called off the dogs. Lee was nervous. Stanhope was there with the fucking suit on, which, by the way, was a great show. Kudos to Joe Rogan for putting that fucking show together. He called me like 8 times saying he was walking around floating on fucking clouds, and so was I. I really was. When you look up and you see a bunch of fucking people looking down at you, you feel like Russell Crowe in Gladiator, you know what I'm saying? Or he needs a black guy with a ball and a fucking chain, and you're taking this motherfucker to the hoop, Jack. So... Wow, that was a great night. But no, I wanted you to go to Boston. So talk to me about the 7 days.
It was great. It was nice to see my family and the girl and go to the Patriots game with NB Leaf Girl. Thank you very much. It was awesome.
Thank you for the present, NB Leaf Girl.
Yeah,
she got my daughter a beautiful little moose, a Toronto Maple Leaf. And then she got me a little teddy bear. That's very cute. That's my friend there.
But you said something to me when I told you I was going, and I told you when I got back that it was absolutely true. For anyone who's moved away, I've been gone from Boston for 2 years now, and I love Boston. I love it. But being home for that week, it was like, I wasn't home anymore. I was like missing LA. I was like, fuck, I didn't think I liked LA. But being in Boston, I was like, shit, I think I'll always love Boston. But when you live somewhere for 2 years, that's home now.
It really is weird that you grow up loving your area. You grow up loving your fucking neighborhood, what you're all about. You love it.
Yeah.
And one day something happens, and listen, you look at people who have left and come back, and you ask them questions. Like, that was my big pet peeve. Anybody who I heard moved away and came back for a year, I would always ask them, hey, man, you know, why did you fucking leave California? Why did you leave Arizona? What made you come back? And they hit you with some lame fucking answer, which you know wasn't the truth.
Yeah.
And I always knew at a young age that I didn't fucking know. I wanted to get the fuck... When I was a kid and I watched ABC,
yeah.
When I was a kid, there used to be the after-school movie at 4:30. So it was always a fucking movie.
There was a movie at 4:30?
Every fucking day.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was like a cartoon and then... Dark Shadows from 4 to 4:30.
Okay.
With the original Barnabas Collins throwing heat like a motherfucker. A white vampire slinging dick. Black chicks, Puerto Ricans. He was like Mick Jagger in fucking 81. And then it was the afternoon movie, you know, about steroids or some bully kid who got beat up. And there was something that you did. Holy shit, I forgot what I was talking about. Oh, ABC. So when you watch the commercials, they would say, tonight at 8 o'clock. You know, they would say whatever, the show, and then they would go and 9 o'clock Mountain and mm-hmm. Pacific. And I would sit there and look into this. You know, in those days, you'd have the fucking computer. You had to rip an encyclopedia out of the wall and look at it. And you learned about the time zones. And you're like, you know, you understood the Pacific time zone and you understood the medium one, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
It's Eastern, Midwest, and whatever. But yeah. You never understood the Mountain one. It always dazzled me. And there was two places that always fucked with my mind. It was Colorado, and then when I was a kid one year, one of the basketball championships went to Seattle. Jack Sigma and all those motherfuckers were up there in Seattle with Henry Hill slinging dope. I don't know if that's true, but at that time they had a great team. I don't know what year the Seattle Supersonics were in the finals against, I think it was the Washington Bullets at that time, but tremendous fucking team. Wes Unseld was the center. So I always was intrigued by the mountains, and I was intrigued by Seattle. How come the Seattles, since Seattle was so high, how come? So I always wanted to go to the fucking mountains. So when I had the opportunity, I had a friend that lived in Aspen. I said, fuck it. I might as well go out there. If I don't like it, I could always come back. They're guys from my grammar school that I knew, so I'm in good hands. You follow me?
Yeah.
But I remember coming back, like buying, you know, that's when I robbed a bunch of houses in Colorado, and I came back and I had some hash and I had some cash put away, and my buddy had robbed some jewelry and he gave it to me to take back and sell it. And I remember going back to North Bergen and my friends taking me and taking me going to say Scarface, but then taking me back into the neighborhood and me going, it was only a year apart, Lee. But I remember going back to this neighborhood and going, things are, you know, like a level, in that year, a level of the bar chains. It wasn't the same guys that were in there. When I was growing up, it was a younger crowd. Or at that time, there were more cokey. People were snorting more. And I remember going back going, this ain't the fucking same place. And I got caught in it, and I ended up there for a year, and I left. And I didn't go back for maybe 11 years. And I remember going back and going, wow, this isn't even what I remember.
No.
And the more you go back, you'll stay less and less.
Yeah, last year I stayed 10 days. This week I stayed, this time I stayed a week. I think next time will be like 5 days. It's just the flights, the Jew in me doesn't want to pay $500 and only be there for 2 days.
You listen, man, but you get deals. You got to fucking go early in the year and get deals. You know, you got to look in there. American Airlines, you got to take all your miles.
Yeah, I don't have any. I flew American.
Up. Yeah, you got to sign up. That shit's free to fucking sign up. And you sign up and you become part of something, and, you know, you just fly. you're going to start flying soon. You know, little flights to Vegas. I mean, you're the fucking flying Jew. How the fuck ain't you flying? You're the motherfucking flying Jew in this motherfucker.
I'm trying, man. But no, I had roasted myself both ways. I was like, holy shit.
I got to give some shout-outs. Happy New Year to a bunch of motherfuckers out there. I got, since I'm in Lee's office now, these are different fucking shields. These are my intellectual ones, the ones I wear to the fucking Starbucks and lie to people. And shit. I tell them to suck my dick and all that shit. You know, sometimes the other ones are my goggles. I like those at the house.
Oh,
those
shit.
Those are my Jack Sigmas. You follow me? But what was I going to do? Oh, I want to give some shout-outs to you little motherfucker. For starters, there's a girl on Facebook. She got like, I don't know, 8,000 friends. Jill Himutsu. Okay, she does all, she got a webpage and she puts Dead Squad's schedule on there, like Ari's, myself, Duncan's, Bert Kreischer's, Joe Rogan's. Listen, do me a favor, get on fucking Twitter right now, go to Jill Himutsu, follow her, because she's going to start getting inside information, you follow me, about Dead Squad. She's going to be the capo regime, she's going to be the underboss between us and the different... chapters of Dead Squad. We're going to make this fucking big, guys. It's all over, but they're shouting. We're waiting for fucking Irish. We're getting Puerto Ricans in here. It's over. You're done. Take the flag down. It's over. No. So she's going to have, like, you know, raffles and giveaway. Whatever the fuck we're doing, she's going to have inside information. Jill Himutsu, she's like Gemma on Sons of Anarchy. You know what I'm saying? So give her some love. Jeremy, my man up in Snowmass Village, who contacted me with some chick I robbed 35 fucking years ago. Luke Monahan at the gym. Cassius Morris. Kiss, the 13-year-old little dude who does the podcast. Poor kid,
yeah.
Scott Meyer was in North Bergen driving a tuck. Tony Soprano, I love you. Dan Berzkowski, Lucas Banana, always around. And Ash Anderson and my Puerto Rican Aris A-Bar and my MMA Soldier of the Week, Duke motherfucking Rufus. I'm going to have that savage motherfucker call up next week. And a special shout-out to Honored. I'm trying to get my man Aubrey to call in to let you know what's going on next year in 2013. This motherfucking year, what's happening. And I got to tell you, I did an experiment. You know, I'm a fucking... I talk a lot of shit, people. I get high. I giggle. But I'm anal. And Lee knows I have everything on a notebook. You know, Lee knows that I try to write shit down so I'm prepared for people. It's very important. And I started taking the Honored vitamins and I started making a log. And I started seeing how many times I was working out a week and how I was feeling.
Really?
I wanted to see how the strong bone worked. And guys, I'm a different fucking man. I got to do a flying sidekick now. I'm doing switch kicks and fucking kickboxing. You know, and this is because my feet don't hurt. And I got to tell you, fat man alert. Fat man motherfucking alert. Because I told you cocksuckers it was going to happen. And I'm embarrassed. I went to Weight Watchers. I gained 8 fucking pounds over the holidays. You know why? And I worked out like a savage. I did a little experiment. I worked out like a savage. I ain't going to lie. I stopped over there by the fucking Mexican dude where I took Lee. Lee, talk to these people. Tell them where your Uncle Joey took you at 1 in the fucking morning. And listen, since I left Jersey, so help me God, I never eat at night. Even when my man Rogan's like, dog, let's go out and eat at night, it fucking kills me because he knows I got to keep it light at night because I'm addicted to night eating. When I was a kid in Jersey, we go to the Berkshire Diner, always had hair in your food, but who gives a fuck? It's 3 in the morning. It can either be a pussy or a grilled cheese sandwich. Eat that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Stop me. Anyway, and I used to get the open steak sandwich with the cream of turkey soup. Oh, Lee. They give you toast with steak on it and the gravy from the steak would melt on your toast with steak fries. Who do you think you're fucking dealing with? That's like 9,000 calories, though. When I moved to Colorado, I stopped eating at night because they ain't know where to go at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
But the other night, me and Lee were coming back from a mission. Where are we coming back from, Lee?
The end of the world show.
The end of the world show. That's right. We're coming back. And I go, Lee, I'm going to turn you on to something. Crossing the Haha on that corner under the fucking, by a car lot there. You can't see it if you're a regular person. You got to be stoned. Got to be stoned. Tell them, Lee, if I'm bullshit.
Oh, they were hiding. They were like,
you got to be stoned. You'll see them in the corner, 2 Mexican couple. And they don't give a fuck. They stay out there from about 11:30 to get started. But by 1, those hot dogs are on fire.
Oh.
They get these hot dogs and they wrap them with fucking bacon. And while that's cooking, they got these little pork tacos and these little... And listen, between you and I, these are all Dolce approved. And they got these fucking... It's in the back of the book with a gun to your head. And a shout out to my man Mikey Dolce. And what was I talking about? And they got the tacos and they had the fucking... Then they got a table with...
and like Pico de Gallo,
and shit's fucking tremendous. Nobody knows.
And it's not like just grilled hot dogs or boiled or steamed. Oh god, I'm stoned now, and I want to go get them. They're on the griddle, so they get really crispy, and the bacon's wrapped around them, so the bacon gets crunchy. And they grill the bun, and he put mustard on it. I went in and put the pico de gallo on it, and he put sautéed onions. Oh,
bang, guys! Who the fuck you think you're dealing with here? If you're gonna go heavy at night, go heavy. Don't waste your time with Taco Bell, or you're gonna make a sandwich at Rob's. Go fuck your mother. If you're gonna go heavy, go heavy. You gotta go deep. You know what I'm saying? Deep. You gotta get like two hot dogs with the onion. And that night I only got a hot dog. Tell them,
you only got a hot dog. But the best part was you got in and you parked illegally. You parked by the red. You didn't care.
Who gives a fuck? It's 1:30. I'm stopping.
And the best part was you took a bite. You looked at me. We looked at each other. You're like, who do you think you're messing with? You're like, if you want to get fat, come with Joey. Come on. We didn't even talk. It was just so good.
Fat man alert. I don't fuck around, dog. If you're a fat dude, I might even raffle off like an evening with Joey Diaz, reefer, fucking parachutes will go, we'll eat. I'm telling you. I'll find these little nooks in the walls and that's what you want to eat. You don't want to eat what these fucking mooks eat. What the fuck do you want to eat when these fucking zombos eat? Then you're going to end up looking like these fucking zombos. That's what you're going to end up doing. Everybody wants to go to the hot spot. There's a place, I ain't even going to say, by my house on Tahunga. The fucking piles of people show up out there. Piles of fucking goys show up out there, a.k.a. wasps for fucking white people, right? These fucking wasps, and they stand on line at this place. So last week, my wife is pregnant as fuck. So the daytime, she gets urges. You understand me? She wants to go get fucking tea or whatever. And they got crumpets there. Excuse me. And anyway. And we fucking go down there, and she orders it. And the next day, my wife is cool as fuck. Listen, if anybody's a food critic, I'm going to fucking say something. Lee, I'm looking for something to criticize when I go to a restaurant so I don't have to go back there again. This place, I've gone in there for coffee. It's, it's okay. Coffee's fucking coffee,
Yeah.
It's $2. It's whatever you fucking pay for coffee. But coffee's coffee. Usually, I just go to 7-Eleven and get that Colombian Bold. Let me tell you something. You drink a cup of that fucking Colombian Bold and you get back. Fuck Red Bull. I was telling you, I did like an 8-ball of blow. And I was tired as fuck. I was on a movie set, and I'll never forget that. We had to change locations. So I drank two fucking Red Bulls back to back like a soldier, and I fell asleep for an hour.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Yes, I fucking did.
So you did an 8-ball Coke, which is supposed to wake you up. I did an 8-ball of
Coke. I started to do Coke like at 9:30. And I ended the blow like at 2 in the morning, and I slept like from 3:30 to maybe like 6. And I had to drive to Pasadena for like a 7 a.m. call. And, like, we had to shoot, like, a scene at the cemetery. Then we had to move on. And when we moved on, I drank two Red Bulls. I go, people, like, drink the Red Bull. I drank two of them. I fucking passed out.
Jesus That's Christ. That's just
for fucking amateurs. Like I said, if you want to stay up, you got to do a fucking G-nizzle. Me, I don't know. I can't even fucking stay up no more, Lee.
Yeah, you go to bed early. Oh. That's how you wake up so early.
Oh, I go to fuck. I get ferociously stoned. I will hit that vapor pen till the fucking vapor is done. And then it's just, it's elementary. So, let me tell you the report on my wife right now. Before I came into Lee's flaming fucking Jew Bazaar.
I don't like that one.
I love this place. I love it. You got a nice place. I like the place. Thank you very much. No, you have a nice place. Lee, when I met Lee, was living in a shack next to these fucking people that were making meth. Yeah. It was amazing. It's amazing. He hated it because they had hookers down the block. And Lee, you never ate one of those fucking. You never took them home and stabbed them.
No, well, because you said that a lot of them were probably transvestites, so I didn't want to take the chance. That's
even better. They suck your dick. You're a transvestite. Have a fucking snuck on your fucking pole.
Oh,
that guy. Their mouths are cold like a motherfucker.
That sounds terrible. Ooh. Ooh. Why are you smiling when you think about that?
I'm just fucking with you, dog. I don't know how to transvestite. I suck my dick. That's disgusting. I thought about it in Vegas at that one that she wasn't a transvestite. She was a transsexual. That's the one that showed me and Rogan her fucking snatch hole with that. She had like artificial turf around at the Riviera. Oh my God, that was hysterical. That's horrible. That's horrible. And even when you look at somebody and go, maybe. Like if I would have had an 8-ball of blow that night, I would have let her suck my dick. Him, whatever, with the wave.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, and I would have practiced an arm bar on him or something like that. Who gives a fuck? It's January 7th. So before I came in here, I called my wife, and I get to her girlfriend's there, and I could tell I know my wife. My wife don't tap for nothing. Because she was telling me that contractions, sorry about that, the contractions were getting worse. That she was going to call me tonight when her friend left and see where I was at. And I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. It's amazingly, I'm fucking ready to go. Yeah, I didn't want this for the last, guys, I'm not an excitable fucking, last time I got excited was when I went to see fucking Julius Erving on Christmas Day, you know, 1983, that's the last time I got excited. Fun, yeah, it was fun. What's the fuck, fun, fucking fun. And I'll tell you, the last 6 months, I'm having a great time with her.
I
just goof with her. And the last 3 weeks, I said it in a way, but. Like I said, I've gained 8 pounds, and I feel we eat fucking all day.
Oh, you have to with her.
You have to, yeah. And she's only gained fucking 40 pounds. It's just in her stomach.
Yeah,
her she legs, looks great. I was looking at her tonight. She looks great. So God bless her. And it's amazing what I'm feeling right now at 50. I'm going to be 50 in fucking, 35 days or something like that. Are you fucking kidding me, Lee? Insurance. I got two different insurances. Shit. I never even thought I was going to be alive. You know, I haven't made it yet to 50. But let's. Who are you kidding? Who the fuck are you kidding?
Yeah.
I mean, this is. Hey, listen. When I was a kid, and I got that girl pregnant, we were married, and then we got divorced. That was. I was thinking about it today and there when I was with my wife. I remember all these crazy stories. The only story I remember from that girl giving birth. Was me fighting with our neighbor, fist fighting, and the cops showed up. Mm-hmm. That's it. I don't remember going. I remember going to the hospital and being upset because I was taking college courses and I had to do a term paper that Monday. And here I had to help deliver this kid. And I went down like 3 times. It was just a fucking afternoon from hell. But a family lived there. And I don't remember anything from that. I remember all simple shit like that. I remember her baptism. Me and her brother-in-law got high in the bathroom downstairs in the church. I remember that we were reeking like reefer. I mean, I was out of my fucking mind. I was out of my fucking mind.
How old were you? Somewhere around my age, right? Late 20s?
She was born in 1990, so I was 27 years old.
Shit, that's 3 years away from me. Holy crap.
And you know what? I don't remember any of that shit. And today when I was taking a shower before I came over here, I was thinking to myself how out of my mind I was at that time. Like, I was out of my mind. Like, when I had that kid, I expected everything to change. Like, I expected the pieces just to fall because this is how life works out. You have a kid, and this kid makes you change. Makes you stop snorting coke. Makes you stop carrying a gun. Makes you stop acting like an asshole to people. It fucking made me crazier. It made me fucking crazy.
Because you had just got out of prison, didn't you?
Yeah, I got out. I got out from the halfway house, and she was being born.
Jesus.
So my relationship with that poor woman was damaged. You know, what I did now with this woman and what I did before the baby was even born, was miles apart. That's how crazy I was, guys. Miles fucking apart. Miles apart. It's a fucking shame. And because of that scar that I had from acting that way, I'm a fucking animal. In the back of my mind, I've always thought I was an animal because I didn't react to that situation. I didn't react to how I thought a man should react when a woman has your child. She was my fucking wife, for Christ's sakes. Till today, I don't have the balls to call over there. Like, that's how bad the situation was. Like, I won't talk to my daughter now until, you know, you think I'm happy that I'm having a new daughter and I don't talk to my... What are you going to do? I don't want to cause a war right now, you know? Nobody wants a fucking war. And then, meanwhile, I'm looking at the Israeli flag. Lee, what do you got for me? What music you got for your Uncle Joey? And she
got gin and juice.
Oh, shit. A little Snoop Dogg and stuff. Let me tell you something. Hold on before you put that on. Guys, do me a favor. He's on the G Network. Have you ever seen Snoop Dogg show?
He's a show?
Like an internet show.
Holy shit,
like
I didn't know that.
A podcast on the G Network or something. So the other day, somebody sends me a link of him with the guys from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, no.
The guy that always goes, yes! The crazy guy that he raises pit bulls.
Okay.
Fat Elvis, Bobby, and Jax Teller. And they're over there. And let me tell you something. The whole time they're there, Snoop Dogg is smoking like he owns a fucking dispensary. Do you understand?
He probably does.
And he's changing outfits in between the fucking joints. And he's got the guys from Sons of Anarchy sparking them up. And he's goofing on. But it is hilarious. It is amazing to me that this guy, I love him. You got to respect somebody like Snoop Dogg. Because you know why? He's doing what the fuck he wants. He even changed his name to Snoop Lion.
Oh, I saw that. Jesus.
So he's sitting there and he's smoking this thing and he goes, "When you come," he goes, "which one of these could roll?" And he fucking is ripping up a blunt paper, right? And all of a sudden it goes to a commercial with these black chicks in the bikinis. Fucking amazing, this show. And all of a sudden it goes back and the blunt, the one guy from Sons Anarchy, the guy that always raises his hand and votes and says, "Yeah, whatever," says he could roll, and he's talking about his pit bull. He has a pit bull organization that each month they go to switch to different charities for different pit bulls and whatnot. And all of a sudden they switch to Snoop Dogg. He's got a fucking bong with goggles on, right? And it's strapped to...
Oh, like a gas mask thing?
Like a gas mask. I haven't smoked a gas mask since I was, I think, my 16th birthday up in my attic. And in those days, you rolled a joint. Where's that joint, Doug?
What'd you do? We finished it.
No, we did not finish it. You were fucking around with it. Oh, I know where it is, cocksucker. I know where it is. And you had to put the joint in this thing and screw it on, light it, and put it into this thing, and then blow it at yourself.
Oh.
And then my one buddy had the thing that you put on with the goggles, but then they developed it, but they didn't know how to not fucking get the smoke in your eyes. So you're in there, you're blinking, it's like somebody jizzing in your fucking eyeball. Hit it, Lee, a little fucking gin and juice for you cocksuckers here, out of respect for Snoopy Dogg. Oh, shit. Happy New Year, motherfuckers. Oh, shit. Lee, do a little wiggle for Uncle Joey. Come on. I haven't seen you wiggle. Come on, baby.
You tickled me yesterday.
Oh, you were carrying the boxes.
I had a box, and he lived on the top of a huge staircase, and he was tickling me, and I almost fell down the stairs.
That was the point, cocksucker. We would have collected the VIG on the fucking the insurance. Who's going to sue the house?
Why do I have to pull down the stairs? We would have
sued three fucking people. Who's better than Uncle Joey? And what do I want? A measly 10 points. Hit Snoop, what? Kick a little something for the G's and make a few wins as I breeze through. 2 in the morning and the party still jumping cause my mama ain't home. I got bitches in the living room getting it on and they ain't leaving till 6 in the morning. Six in so what you gonna do? Take a little puff of Uncle Joey here. Look at Lee with the new hairdo. He looks like fucking Sirhan. Sirhan! You know what that is, Lee?
No.
Spark that, Lee. Holy shit. What? Smoking. Look at the fucking Israeli flag representing cocksuckers. What? Lee, what are you doing? I tell you, to smoke one hit, you smoke 15. Look at this. I gave him a joint. Look at it, gives me back. He's worse than Snoop Dogg. Oh, shit. One more. Do a little wiggle, Funko Joy, Lee. Oh, shit. Shake it, Funko Joy. Give me a little. What?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I smoked out of a gravity bong when I was home. It was like a bucket full of water, and they had like a half a soda can or half a soda bottle. And you like lifted it up, and the soda, like an entire 2 liter filled up with smoke, and you just pushed it down, and I got fucking stoned. And it was Boston weed, so what, like it's not necessarily great weed, but fuck.
But you know what? Let me tell you something. About 3 years ago, I went to Philly, I think, with Ari and Joe, and somebody gave us a joint that looked like a fucking missile. And we smoked it on the car right over there. We smoked half, and we were mummified. There's good weed at some places. It just, you know, and so don't write that weed off. Somebody could have grown. Listen, there's college kids that are growing shit now that'll fucking put hair on your eyeballs. That's the plan, Lee Leland. So when are you going to see your little girl again? Did you fall in love? Talk to us. No, talk to great. The viewers at home. I know she's great. She's very cute.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a lucky dude, Lee. How big is your awesome. Dick? How big is that fucking helmet of yours, you little that little fucking juice stick? You
know, it's big enough. I don't know.
That's the name of the place, the juice stick.
The juice stick. you're tickling me now, asking me how big my dick is. I don't know if I want you in my house now.
Wow, I just want to know, because you're a handsome fucking dude, but this chick's banging.
Yeah, she's
cute. Animal magnetism. You told me you sent her a picture of you in a bikini. I don't know what the fuck happened.
No,
I didn't tickle you like I was holding you down, putting my nuts out in your face. Don't say it like this. What happened was he was carrying a fucking box. I was carrying a table, and he's standing there like a fucking mummy that he is, looking around to see what the weather's like before he walks down the stairs. So I went to tickle him. He jumped. Let me tell you something. The last thing you want to do is jump in front of me when I fucking poke you. You got to keep it like a soldier. You're not going to give me your fucking tell.
Well, you didn't really guy. Let you. Didn't, you just like kind of like grazed it. Like,
oh, no. Tickle, I'm a professional tickler. I'll stick that finger right in your fucking tickle zone right here. And then the other one, it'll puncture one of your little ribs. ribs. And your little spare ribs are nice. You know what I'm saying? So I poked. And you giggled. You should have seen his face turn red. Are you stoned right now? Like,
yeah, a little bit.
You
gotta
get it together, dog. You really gotta get it together.
I have it together.
Did you bow to the fucking Israeli flag this morning?
When I put it up, yeah?
Every day.
Yeah, I didn't have it up in my last place, but that's the fucking, I'm the flying Jew. I have to have it up now.
So, yeah, I gotta go down to, I might have to go to Hollywood tonight, man.
Is that, why do you have to go to Hollywood?
Because that's where the baby's at.
Oh, I thought it was up in the valley. Okay.
No, no, it's in Hollywood, so I'm gonna have to go down there tonight and do this. And that's it. I just wanted to do a podcast.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah, you'll put this up tomorrow morning.
So I can have it up tonight, yeah.
Now, when do you go back to work, Lee?
Tomorrow night.
Oh, shit.
And I have DirecTV coming tomorrow morning. And then I've put most of my place together. But for anyone who moved, it fucking sucks. So I'm going to have it together by like the end of the week. And, but yeah, I'm excited. I'm ready to go back. Fucking everything's expensive. So I need to go back to work.
It is. When you move, you don't know what you go for. And you had movers. You're a big shot.
Oh, fuck. Someone.
I thought you had your friends from fucking the editors going to help you move.
Fuck that. I said that on Facebook. Jews, even when I was broke in college, I always hired movers. $200-$300. I'm not fucking. I was on the third floor of my last place. I'm on the third floor here. And I have heavy shit. I'm not doing nothing. And the girl texted me. And the movers were an hour late. And she said, so why don't you help them so you won't pay as much? I said, I'm paying $90 an hour. I'm not doing shit. So they moved. I didn't move a thing. Fuck that.
You're a bad. Now what happens if you move something and you slip? You're not thinking about the big picture.
Who am I gonna sue if I'm moving my stuff and I slip?
You sue the only. You tell them there's no lights in the hallway or whatever the fuck you. You know you got a cousin who's a fucking lawyer or somebody in your fucking family's gotta be. You're a Syed. Get it together.
That's true.
You're a fucking Syed. Your shit. Your Jimmy runs deep. Back to the fucking hills of Israel. Your people were there when they were playing the bongos, Jesus' 12th birthday. So if my baby's born, it's going to be tomorrow, which is it's a Cuban Christmas tomorrow.
It really?
Yeah, it's Cuban in a couple. It's Christmas in a couple different religions tomorrow and different ways of life, as they say.
Yeah. So I don't think we talked about that. You
put the volume up to see if somebody calls.
I have it ready, don't you?
You ready to go already? Yeah. Because I don't know if he's in the call right now.
Oh,
there you go. See what I'm saying?
Fucking.
Happy New Year, my brother.
Joey, how you doing, brother?
Good, man. I'm happy that you called. And the rumor is me is my main man, Lee Syed. On the phone is the man, the Mayan, the president of Mayans, my brother, Emilio Rivera. Thank you very much for calling. How you doing, Papa?
I'm doing good, but I got to be on with you, man. Always a pleasure working with you, Joey.
Oh, yeah, man. I wanted to talk to you for a long time, but I wanted to wait for the season to be over. What's been going on with you? I know you were going away for a few days.
Yeah, you know, I've been working. It was pretty cool. I did a few commercials this past few months. Did about four of them. So I got busy like that. And did a few movies last year, and they're all coming out this year, man. So it's been a good time, man. It was been working, so it's been nice, you know. And I took 2 months off. Spend a lot of time with the family, so it was good, man, real good.
Good for you, Emil. You look good, you look healthy on TV, you look beautiful. They should, if they remake Zoot Suit, it's all over.
Hey, no, it's the makeup, but in the lighting, brother.
No, you're still a sharp
thank,
guy.
Thank you, Joey. Thank you.
You know, when I called you the other day, I asked you also, besides doing the podcast, if you wanted to get on stage, because a lot of people don't know, that's how I met you.
Yeah, man.
We met at the Ice House, right?
18 years ago, Joey?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. You were a young guy. I was still old. I was 50 then.
I'm being 52 next month, brother. You don't say we're the same time.
Yeah, I'm 50. I'm 50 next month on February 19th.
Oh, yeah. I'm February 24th, brother.
There you go. I think you're Julius Erving's birthday, too. Isn't Dr. J on that day? He's like the 22nd. That's like a good week to have a birthday.
Oh, yeah, man. I didn't know that was your birthday, bro. Yeah, but it was 18 years ago when we met, brother. Yeah
man. So that's, and it was stand-up, so I asked him. I said, if you ever want to come to one of the shows, I'd love for you to do whatever you got. You know, and Emilio called back. He's like, I got 15. I don't give a fuck if you got 8 minutes. You're a funny dude. Whenever, you always got an open invite. People don't know that. That's how we met. You know, and you went on to do great things. I mean, Collateral's been on all month. And I watch it till that part.
Oh, thank you, bro.
I watched it till that part, yeah.
No, that's actually how it all got started, the whole acting thing, you know. And Meeting you out there, meeting, you know, Rudy Moreno, and a lot of good guys. And Carlos Mencia was pretty coming up as well. And it was a lot of good times, man. And but now, I mean, every time I call you, Joe, you know, whenever I need to do a show, I need to raise some money for somebody that, you know, that couldn't, you know, bury their family member or something. You've always been there for me, bro. I mean, every time you call me, I called you, bam, you would always be there. You never forgot me as a friend. And I dig that, so I do the same for you, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you're a solid dude. I get excited when I see you. I'm going to see a real man. I'm going to talk to a real fucking man for an hour.
Yeah, well, that's what it is, brother, is because you're just an old school, good motherfucker, bro. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard to find nowadays. It really is.
Yeah, when I see your auditions or I see you out, I know that for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, I'm going to talk to somebody who's going to tell me how the fuck it is, and I'm going to leave there feeling happy.
And I know I'm hearing some real stuff, but I know I'm also going to be laughing like a motherfucker, bro. Because every time I'm with you, bro, you learn something, but at the same time, I can't stop laughing. And I come home to the old lady, and I got to tell her everything you told me, because it's just funny, bro. I mean, you're one of the best out there, brother. I'm really proud of you. Every time I see you, it puts a smile on my face, brother. You need to hear your voice right now. It puts a smile on my face.
I'll tell you what made my day. You know, I would come home. You know, you're busy at night, Emilio. You know, you're busy in the daytime. My nighttime life, for me to be a good comedian, as much as I got to be out during the week doing those 10-minute sets to try out new shit. So I got to be out early in these little valley rooms and shit. So I miss TV. And my wife told me for like a year, you know, your buddy's on this Sons of Anarchy about motorcycle guys. And you know what? The reason why I wouldn't watch that first, because when I went to prison, the guy that rolled on me was the biker. The dude who was the tough dude who was rolling with the fucking whatever out of Colorado, and he had the pit bull and the convertible, and he had the tattoos. He's the one that rolled on me. The guy I kidnapped didn't even roll on me.
is that right?
The last thing I wanted to do was a fucking biker. So
I heard that. Wow, that's a trip. Wow.
Yeah, so I watched the show one day, and I fell in love. I fell in love with your character. I fell in love with Jax. I fell in love with the old man, with Gemma. And I started tweeting about it like a year, it was the season premiere. Every Tuesday, I would wake up and say, you know, tie your woman and put a money in her asshole. Sons of Anarchy's on tonight.
Oh, no, you know what? You know, but I got to be honest with you, bro. Every time the show comes on Tuesday, every Tuesday, I always look for your tweets for Sons of Anarchy, because it's always fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I would do it just to mess with people. And I found out that so many people would watch that show. And then I come on the podcast and do Wednesdays, we cover it. And people would fucking send emails. Joey, stop. Spoiler alert. Say it. Because you're ruining the show for us. So, dog, you turned me on to a great show. I love your character. I love everything on the show. And Smith, everybody was good this year. You know, now you guys are going to start moving blow for the fucking, for Pope or whatever's going on. So I'll see you a lot next year. So I'm really happy, man. You know, that's why I just wanted you on the show to talk about what's going on with you.
It's been a blast. I mean, I write in real life anyway, Joel. You know what I mean? So I'm getting paid to write, and it's a lot of fun, brother. You know, but back, I'm still alive, you know, so we're coming back on next season 6, and let's see what happens, man. I mean, a lot of shit going down right now, but again, we're winding down. You know, it's almost coming to an end, so, you know, motherfuckers are going to be dying, brother. You know what I'm saying? Every year it gets more exciting and exciting, you know?
Yeah, I was watching something that at first, I guess the network okayed if they killed somebody every 4 episodes, it was okay. Now, I guess you kill 4 people every episode.
Exactly. It's like more than the most violent show ever on TV, bro. So it's pretty cool, man, you know?
Now, this year, the numbers were really high, like really fucking high, right?
The numbers were highest for any FX show ever, bro. You know what I mean? And I think it's just going to get built from there. You know, like a lot of people are barely getting into it right now. Are buying the first season all the way through to catching up till now, you know, and a lot of people are caught up now, brother, and they're waiting for season 6, you know, which is good for us, you know.
No, I watched everything this year. I watched every Wednesday, and now I watch season 1 on DVD, and I ordered 2 and 3 from Amazon the other day, and I'm waiting on that because I need to watch them. And now I'm going to have the baby tomorrow morning, tonight, late, or tomorrow. So said that. You
congratulations
know,
on that, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, man. 50 years old.
Perfect time right now. He's going to love that.
But. Yeah, and they said that you sit with your baby and you go on your chest when they're really young. So a friend of mine, Jim Jeffries, was telling me to put the baby on your chest. And he goes, you have a lot of dead time. So pick a TV show and watch all the episodes or something. So I'm looking forward to going from the beginning.
You can have a boy or girl, but you know yet?
I'm going to have a girl, bro. My family, that's all.
Oh, man, forget about you. She's going to be spoiled, brother. That's going to be your little queen, brother.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You know, I got a second chance to be a father, so I got to really work hard. And, you know, I mean, you got to figure I'm going to be 50. What's the average lifespan? 74 of a man, and that's if the guy does jumping jacks every day. I used to eat pussy and snort coke, and, you know, I got off the track for a little while. So you got to figure out on like maybe 68, 71. But you know what, bro? I'm taking care of myself now, so let's see what happens if God wants, you know?
Especially happened to who?
What happened?
Especially what happened to who?
What happened to, what did I say?
Yeah, you're taking care of yourself better now, especially after what happened to somebody.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it like that. Did I say something?
Okay. No. Oh, we got it, but I mean, we're getting at that age where, I mean, you guys are taking care of everything now. I mean, I'm trying to watch what I eat, but I love my cheeseburgers, but I love my cheeseburgers and fries. And my old lady's always trying to take that shit away from me, but damn it. You know, I just ate a whole hole right now. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's already fucking, I did, you know, I eat a fucking hole every night, you know?
What's a whole hole? A chocolate thing? With the cream inside?
Yeah, that's my favorite thing, brother. I gotta have one of those at night, every night.
And you work out every day?
I 3 times a week, brother. I mainly do cardio. Like tomorrow, the regimen. My son was off for 20 days from school. He goes back to school tomorrow, so the regimen starts all over again. You know, up the mountain. I got to live over here by Runyon Canyon in Hollywood.
Okay.
So we run that up. You know, so that's pretty good. You know, so I need that cardio as we get older, bro. Just more cardio than anything else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I started kickboxing. Yeah. And this guy kills us. I had to start doing it like 6-7 weeks ago, and I love it. And that's why I'm pissed off, because I gained 8 pounds over the holidays. How the fuck they got me jumping up and down there 3 times a week? I've been going to one yoga, and I've been lifting one day a week. How the fuck did I gain 8 fucking pounds? So my wife
good is... Good for you, brother. That kickboxing, anything to do with it, you know, that kind of, you know, sports, I mean, as far as boxing, kickboxing, you know, that grappling, it's the best for you, brother. You work out at everything.
No, I can't do that jujitsu shit in my back. I can't breathe on my back. I got sleep apnea. My nose is always clogged. You know, every once in a while, I haven't done a line in 5 years, but every once in a while, my nose gets clogged up. I can't fucking figure it out. That shit was when I did blow, and now it's tremendously fucking clean. So that's it, brother. I'm just trying to put it together.
Yeah, good. Yeah, man.
But I'm happy you called up tonight, man. You're always a good dude, and I'm a big fan of your work, and I love you, Emilio. You're solid.
I love you, bro. Good, you're primo. You, Joe, you fucking... You got so much energy. When you go on stage, I could have a bad night, brother. And once you're on stage, you just pick it all up again. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you put me in a good fucking mood. You fucking make me laugh to my stomach hurts, which is a good thing, because it's hard for me. I mean, I see so many comics, bro. Sometimes I get stuck on YouTube and just piss in the comics. I can laugh my ass off, you know?
Me
and
too. I do the same thing.
Just when you go on stage, you know it's going to be good. You know what I mean? I think that. So I look forward to working with you again, brother, you know?
I'll see you soon, man, but I'm happy you called in tonight. And help me out. I love you, and Happy New Year to you. And looking forward to Suns, man.
I love you too, brother. You let me know anytime you want to talk, and we'll talk, brother. We'll do it in front of everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much for calling up tonight.
Yeah, well, hey, congratulations on the baby, and good luck tomorrow, bro. And I'll give you that baby a big hug for me.
You got it. I'll give you a call over the week. Thank you for doing this, man.
You got it, buddy. Anytime.
Bye. So there you
have it.
Oh, shit. That's how we do it on fucking, you know. So I'm happy. I'm happy you called me a little, because I was ready to cancel. When I got home, I looked at the cats, and I was like, you know what? I got to reply to emails. I got to do this, and I got my wife. I tell you what. You know what, man? Nobody wants to be in a hospital fucking alone overnight.
No.
I'm going to go back to the house now and see what the situation is. I'm going to call her and see what she has to say. And then from there, I might sleep 4 or 5 hours, because I know I won't get a good night's rest. I'll clean up, feed them. Hang out with them for a while. I'll eat like rice checks. I'll eat at the house, because that hospital food is fucking horrid.
And I'm sure it is.
It's a long fucking walk, so it's not even worth the aggravation. And hopefully I'll give birth to my daughter overnight, you know. And
congratulations, man. I wanted to ask you before you called, how much of the Cuban stuff are you going to have in her life? Are you going to do it?
I'll tell you what, man. Listen, plain and simple. When... And I'll say it right out. When I was a kid, I was fucking ashamed, you know, when I came to this country. My mother put me in an area that was all fucking white. You know, and thank God that her first bar was by black people. It was 127th and Audubon. And I think about that part of my life all the fucking time, because it humbled me. Mm-hmm. You know, even though we lived on 205 West 88th Street, we had a doorman and all our neighbors were white. We could mail our letters in the hallway and, you know, all this shit. You know, I had to go to that fucking death hole every day. But those black people kept me humble. Jasper motherfucking Williams, if you're still alive, reach out to me, Doug. Mm-hmm. And it was just all that. Oh, what was the question?
How much of the Cuban stuff?
So my mother would always yell out the window at my name, Jose Antonio.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't react to it. I swear to God, I wouldn't react to it. And then she would call me Coco, and then she would call me Tony or something. And I'd react to those two names. And I wouldn't, and she'd talk to me in Spanish, and it would drive me fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And I would ask her, don't talk to me in Spanish, you know. And then she says, in my house, we're going to talk Spanish. Outside, you got to speak English, but in the house. And you know what? Today, I'm happy she beat me the fuck up with it. I'm happy I speak two languages. You're like, Joey, well, what has it ever done for you? Tons. It makes my mind fucking work. Because I can't believe that I still kept it after all these years.
Yeah.
I still kept it really fluent. For a couple of years there, after my mother died, I didn't keep it fluent at all. I think like from 85 to like 90, I didn't speak Spanish at all. It was fucking crazy. I met the Cubans in 90 in Boulder. this Cuban family, the Feebles, I still talk to Danny Jr. He goes to all my shows in Boulder. And I'm proud. I'm proud that I spoke Spanish. I'm proud that I picked up a couple Sicilian terms and words growing up. You know, I understood what the Sicilians were saying. I grew up with so many Italians that I picked up the dialects, you know, the ones that are from the north, the ones that are from Sicily, the ones that are from Palermo, the ones, so you pick up the different dialects. The more south, the more Spanish it sounds.
Okay.
It's really interesting. The more south they are to me, the more like Naples up north, it sounded a little harder to me. But if I could pick up or focus on one or two of the words, so the deal that I came up with my wife is this. I'm going to talk to her in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk to her in as much Spanish as I can. So she has to think about it and react back to me and talk to me in Spanish. That's my native language. I have to talk to her. She has to understand it. I meet a lot of Spanish people who are dynamite people, and they don't know the language, and it drives me crazy. Like, your parents didn't talk to you in Spanish. My fucking parents were fucking losers, and they spoke to me in Spanish.
Yeah.
You follow me? My parents weren't like, they didn't go to a counselor and sit there with a psychiatrist and say what's best for your fucking kid, you know, that we give them a pill. You know what? If I would have lived in this area right now as a kid, like mm-hmm. not this area, if I would have lived in this time life, like if I would have been 13, if I would have been 10 in 2013, I would have been on fucking a walking stick, walking with 22 pills dissolving into my arms all day. These kids that they prescribe medication to, they call them crazy,
yeah,
or psychiatry. I know fucking kids, and I know what it is to be a kid that's fucking deranged. I'm fucking going to be 50, and I'm still fucking deranged. You follow me? So, you know, when you see a kid, and you've been fucked up, you know what it is to be fucked up. And a lot of these kids that they got going to these doctors and all this shit aren't fucked up. I don't believe that a 13-year-old should be talking to a fucking psychiatrist. I think a parent should be talking to a fucking 13-year-old about what's really crack-a-lacking. Now, I wasn't raised under that scrutiny of my counselors, or my mother wasn't that involved. But at the house, she was very fucking hands-on. I mean, I caught my last fucking smack to the mouth when I was 15 or something like that. They didn't hesitate in my fucking house.
No.
But, you know, I would have been, if I would have been 10 in 2013, I would have been walking around with a guy next to me with a dog, walking around with a mask like Hannibal Lecter, with an IV in me, fucking walking back and forth with a psychiatrist fucking throwing needles at me and shit like that. And once my mother flipped and gone, oh, from 15 to 17, you know, come on, from 15 to 19, you made an interesting point before about leaving and coming back. I left Jersey not when things were down. I left Jersey when things were on fire. I left Jersey when you could make $1,000 a week just walking around being you. Never mind if you had two and two to put together. There was always a truck to unload or a job to get or casing something or selling fucking an ounce of blow. There was always something to fucking do.
Yeah.
And I had the fucking, and collecting unemployment and having your friends do get you in a union and all this shit. And one day somebody came to me and something, and I just knew that if I stayed in that area, I was either going to end up dead or in prison. End the story. There was no going to be no. I wouldn't even have a chance.
Yeah.
There was no way I could get ahead, and that's what made me leave. And every time I went back, I got the creeps. I still loved my people, and I loved going home, but something gave me the creeps. I had suffered too much on these streets. When I go back to North Bergen and I drive on those streets, like when we did the documentary and we would get out and I'd walk around and show you different things, the fucking neck hairs would stick up. I know what went down on those fucking streets. I remember what went down. I remember, you know, pulling Gabby over and having to suck your dick. But, you know, I remember fucking rolling by the high school right there where you were there with the camera.
Yeah.
I remember rolling a fucking bum there when we're 12 one day, you know, pulling him on County Boulevard, on that big boulevard. Pulling this guy on the street, and the guy's like, and we're taking his money, and there's 3-4 gorillas, and people are beeping their cars at us, going, hey, leave that poor man alone. And we're like, fuck you. You know, I know what it's like. Are you fucking crazy? All those cemeteries that we went through.
Yeah.
That one cemetery, you know how many shits I took in that fucking cemetery? Do you have any fucking idea the dead of the winter? I still remember the night that Freddie Prinze shot himself. I walked through that cemetery. And I took a shit on the grave, like from 1844. That was the way I justified not being guilty in my mind, you know?
Because it was old?
Oh, that cemetery in northern New Jersey. Listen, from 63rd Street to 39th Street, it's a cemetery.
No, but you justified it because it was an older person?
Yeah, like who the fuck comes and checks on them? You know what I'm saying? Who's alive? Who's gonna? It's like, what is that thing we're talking about? About Lincoln, the movie. These fucking critics. Oh, you know, whatever the fuck. Harvey Homo, his portrayal of Lincoln is spectacular. I didn't know you knew Lincoln. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know you knew Lincoln.
Yeah.
I know people who walked out of that fucking movie. They're like, we sat there and started thinking, where'd they get all this dialogue from? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, stop it. Well, it was like the other chubby dude, the one who played the manager in the movie about the boxer, Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
What's the guy that he played fucking Benjamin Franklin, whoever, on the HBO series.
Remember? I have no idea.
Anarchy, give me still. What the fuck? I'm high as a fuck.
You got me high and I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm fucking stoned to the gills. I can't believe I might walk outside and I might get a 911 call from my wife to get down. I'm going to deliver this kid fucking juiced up, stoned to the gills, Jack.
Jesus.
I went home, I hit the vapor pen, I rolled the number for us, just out of respect. I had that weed. I've had that weed at the house for a fucking month. I wanted to get rid of it. It was dry, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was tremendous. Leave, come on. Who the fuck loves you more than me? I miss you, cocksucker. 2 weeks, we can't have these people on the street.
Yeah.
We got a lot of shit going on. I'm getting the webpage revamped, joeycocodias.net. We're going to put some JRs, putting some t-shirts on. I got a hoodie coming at you.
Oh,
I got a long sleeve podcast t-shirt and a short sleeve t-shirt coming at you. I got Testicle Testaments 4 coming at you. It's on pre-order right now on iTunes. What else? We got next 17th at the Improv in Irvine.
Nice.
And then the 25th, I'm over at Flappers on a Friday night. 2 shows because I'm shooting a TV show that week, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Oh, shit.
So I also picked that up. It was like 2 things. I had to stay in town anyway. I couldn't go to Chicago with Joe. I'm fucking furious. I wanted to go because Clay Guida was fucking fighting in that. And I'm happy my boy Emilio. Hey, listen, man, I've become a fan. What are you looking at me all stoned for, cocksucker?
What do you mean, what are you looking at me all stoned
for? Look at you with your little yellow shirt looking all snazzy and shit.
I'm trying, man.
Stick them in the house, 2013. I get to gonna put together a studio. I've got some great guests lined up for you motherfuckers already. I got the Tim Donahue book, so I'm going to start reading that when I tap off the Stephen King book. And then I'm going to have him back on with more interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He caught me off guard. You know, that guy's an interesting story. And beside that, like I said, Jill Himutsu is the new Gemma of Death Squad International. You know, I'm going to go to Death Squad Harlem. I'm going to see them in Caroline's, hopefully in March. And that's it, motherfuckers. The next time we talk on Wednesday morning, I'll be back here, and I will officially be a father. And I got to tell you, man, me and Lee last year, we had a great time fucking around with you people. From the documentary to this and that, this and that. And now we're doing it. We're doing it. Even on a Sunday night, we don't fuck around, dog. We got somebody to call real quick. You know, I was going to have Brody call, but I have Brody call during the week. Brody's doing great. I want you guys to know, you know, I check up on these motherfuckers. So when I call them and they call back in, we all get to talk and we're all fucking family. And that's it, man. It's January 2nd. You know, I was telling somebody the other night at Flappers. I went to Flappers. Bobby Slayton was performing. And I went down there and some kid, you know, they have the Yoo-Hoo room in the back.
Yeah.
Flappers is like a parade going on at all times. Like, people like the economy slow. Go to Flappers. They got 19 comedy rooms going. They got comedy at the bar, comedy in the hallway, comedy in the patio, a big room, the Yoo-Hoo room. You know, and I'm going to be there. I can't wait to fucking be there. I got good fucking wings with a blue cheese. I swear to God, they got the best blue cheese dressing at Flappers. It's like this blue cheese garlicky fucking combination.
Ooh.
And you go home, it's like going to a Japanese. You ever go to a Japanese restaurant and dip your fucking meat in that sauce?
Oh, I love that sauce.
You go home, those farts are fucking tremendous. If I went to Benihana for the lunch special a couple weeks ago, fucking tremendous. But what was I talking about, Lee? My eyes are fucking kind of here.
Comedy, you're going to be in Flappers.
Oh, Flappers, the wings, that's right. Thank God Lee's here tonight with his Alibaba fucking beard tonight. So they have this blue cheese combo. I'm telling you, people, you have bad breath for 3 fucking days. My sleep apnea mask smells like shit for a week. I got to dip it in fucking water and soap and boil it. And that's what we got going on, people. That's it. We got another show coming at you Wednesday. The New England Patriots playing next Sunday, brother?
Yeah, Sunday against the Texans.
We'll decide if we're doing. That's a great game.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the games today, Lee? Tell me the truth.
I only got to watch a little piece of it. I really... Even though I don't want to play Baltimore, so I hope Denver beats Baltimore. I respected Ray Lewis.
You
want to
play Denver?
I'd rather play them than Baltimore.
I'm going to tell you something, dog. That guy is blowing my fucking mind, Lee.
Yeah, Peyton Manning?
Listen, I think I know about this and this. I don't know, Dick, because I didn't think that guy was going to make the whole season.
No?
I thought that guy was going to play 4 games and somebody's going to break his fucking spine. But you know what? They put 9 white gorillas in front of him.
Yeah.
Like they always do. Elway knows the deal. You want my quarterback? Here's the deal. You got to put the best. You got to put 4 white doors. These motherfuckers go to Fogo to Chow and the waiters tap. Like, when these guys go to Fogo, the waiters run out of there. Fuck this. Because you got to bring a whole rack with you. That's what John Elway wants in front of you. So that's why it worked. And they're solid up there. They get you up there now with the no huddle. You know, they're playing in Denver next week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you this. Let's pretend Denver wins. Does New England have to go to Denver?
Yeah.
Oh,
we always have trouble with Baltimore, though. It makes me nervous.
Who has trouble with Baltimore?
New England.
You guys.
Fucking, their offense isn't that great. Their defense is just fantastic. And fucking, I don't know. We beat Denver, but that was early. But I don't know. I'm nervous. Personally, I'm nervous about Houston because we kicked their ass a few weeks ago. And we're huge favorites now.
What's the line against Houston?
Let me look it up. But
Houston's kind of having a hard time.
They're having a hard
time.
They're
mumbling, they're stumbling, but they can't handle this success. I've been watching them for years. And one thing about Houston, they always cover. They always cover fucking something. So yesterday's game, I don't even know if they caught. I didn't know what the line was. Guys, I've been so fucked up.
We're 10-point favorites.
Oh, in New England.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. And I got to tell you. My wife got out of work like the 16th. When did you leave, Lee?
I left Christmas, yeah.
25th. And for some reason, they confused me. They told me that, you know, her due date was the 2nd, but we went to the doctor like the 9th, and they told her to get everything done that weekend, that she was really open.
Okay.
So my wife panicked, and we went. We did a bunch of fucking things, and we got everything ready, and nothing happened. And Christmas came, And like 3 days before Christmas, I found myself on there just going to the Laugh Factory or something. And on the way home, doing like 90 on Laurel Canyon on the way home. And thinking to myself, why the fuck am I speeding? And I go, because I got to get home because my wife might have the baby. And going home and talking to her, and she looked fine. And we went to eat at a friend's house Christmas Eve. And while I was sitting there, I looked at my wife and I'm like, what the fuck am I thinking? Her due date is the 2nd. Okay?
Yeah.
She's 40 fucking 3. She's going to be a week late. The 2nd, that's the fucking 9th. I go, why have I been so stressed out to be at the house for? And I wanted to tell you, I went out every night doing spots. I went to that thing with you. I just went out of comedy, and I had a great time. From Flappers to the Ha Ha to the Laugh Factory to Long Beach. And ever since, you know, and I told her, don't call me unless a hand has popped out. That's it. If I don't see that little finger, like that finger with the doctor the other day, did you see that when I went?
Yeah,
lose?
Yeah.
If I don't see that, don't fucking call, you know. And look, I was right. She's going to have the kid tomorrow.
Yeah, the 7th.
The 7th, which is the, in my house in those days, they give you cash in the morning. And my mom would give me like 150. Then she'd go, come to the bar. You pick up another couple of yards.
Your daughter's really a Cuban Jew. She's coming out today for the money.
Yeah, she's coming out for the fucking dough on the 7th. It's amazingly. I can't tell you what I feel like right now.
Wednesday's going to be an interesting podcast.
I feel numb.
Really? Because I thought you were numb before this, and now it's kind of hitting you. But man, I don't know.
Like I told you, we've always had that conversation. Nothing. I don't want to know about nothing until I'm right there and ready to rock. When when I was a kid, we had this kid on the football team. I didn't play football that year. His name was George Mum, and this kid was a savage. He was a fucking savage, just a street savage. Listen, there's tough people and there's street savages. He was from Jersey City, and he had transferred to North Bergen because they threw him out. Jersey City had like 8 schools in high school. When they throw you out of a Jersey City school, you're the fucking top of the fucking cream. He threw him out of the school in Jersey City. He comes to North Bergen. He stopped showing up for practices. This kid was an all-state linebacker. He stopped showing up for practices. So one day, this teacher that I was fucking around with, George McGrath, has to go to his house and find out what's going on with this kid. You know, he's already crazy. What's going on with this kid?
Yeah.
I see McGrath the next day. I go, McGrath, how'd it go last night? He goes, I got to tell you what this kid told us. I go, what he said? He goes, listen, I don't like practicing, coach. He goes, this is what you do. He goes, get a cage, put me in it, and lock me up. He goes, throw booze in there and weed and cigarettes and just let me out on game day, coach. He goes, I don't want to practice. And that's like me. I don't want to fuck around. You ready to rock? You come get me. Let me rock. We have the baby. But until then, I don't want to think. I got shit I got to think about, Lee.
Yeah.
You got to think about shit. You know, you got to write. You got to stay focused. I got to, you know, I got so much on my plate. If I start thinking about April or May, I fuck myself in the ass.
Yeah.
And how do I know I did it for years? When I got the ulcer when I was 21, I would worry about September 2016. Why the fuck are you worried about September? I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. 2016. What the fuck are you worried about?
Yeah.
You get your insurance plan, you leave some money for your Philippe Sayat. And that's it, Lee. I gotta get the fuck out of here. I'm gonna see if she needs for me to go down there. Listen, man, forget the support you've given us with docs and shit like that and donations from time to time and all that. Let me tell you something. What these guys have done for you the last couple of days, when I just fucked around the other day. And so the doctor sent this back. I got to stick a finger up her ass and everything and all this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sending me the love you sent me, motherfuckers. You know, it's scary. This shit's scary. If you want me to come up here and tell you I'm going to be tough, fuck you. This is scary having a kid. I failed, especially when you failed once. You know, who wants to try this fucking shit again? This is life. This is for keeps. It's not like buying a car that you take it back with a lemon law. You know what I'm saying? You're stuck with this fucking thing.
Jesus.
For 20 fucking years. Win, place, and show. You know what I'm saying? Whenever it comes out, I mean, what are you going to do? So this is a very big commitment. I'm scared to shit. I never wanted to be involved in this. I like kids. I love kids. I'll do anything for your kid. I'll take them to the track. I'll do anything for
you. I'll take them to the track.
I'll take them to the park, feed them, whatever the fuck you want. I'm great with kids because I talk to them from the heart. I'm a kid. What the fuck are you kidding? I'm a fucking kid. I am not fit in my mind. My body. Listen, the other day I seen Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
I was looking at Willie Nelson interview. I'm like, you know what? Willie Nelson was old when I first saw him. And I go, you know who else has that quality in me? When I was 20, I looked like I was 50. Like, I've had this face. This is a face I had when I was 16 and shit. You go to North Bergen yearbook, 1978, the freshman football basketball team. Get that picture. Put it online. I'll send you a shirt or something. Lee Sayat, 1978 freshman basketball team. Put that fucking picture. I got an afro, the whole fucking deal. I got 2 needles for a shoulder. Then after that, I discovered the Italian food, fricadelles. And I was doing fucking curls in the basement. Anyway. Thank you very much. I will keep you guys posted on Twitter when she has the child and all this and pictures. And thank you to Emilio for calling up from Sons of Anarchy. Follow him on Emilio Rivera. And my brother, Lee Sayat. Great to see you, cock sucker. Stone to the bone, stuttering, mumbling. What do you got? What music? You got any dance music?
I got a surprise for you.
Hit it.
Let's see. I can't listen to it, but let's see if it's good.
Oh, the 7th, Irvine Improv, motherfuckers. The 17th, 8 o'clock, get your tickets. The 25th, I'm in Flappers. Oh. Have a great fucking Monday. You know I love you. You got a whole shot at doing whatever the fuck you want to do. I want to be around. We'll play that Wednesday for you. I forgot about it.
Yeah.
What else? Oh! Pete, Garland, Grace, what? Please, let me see you wiggle, Park City.
Ocean,
back in the club, where you find me. I love you cocksuckers. Thank you very much for all the love. Stay black. Have a great fucking week. Go out there, sling dick. Fuck it. You got another chance. 2013. Tell them all to suck your dick. What? Dead Squad, cocksuckers. Red Band, Rogan, Ari Shafir, Duncan Trussell, Bravo, Bert Kreischer, the fucking Kraminsky sisters. Everybody, give them love. We give you love back. Have a great week. True fucking players. Jump in the Rover and come over. Tell your friends, jump in the GF3. I got the chronic by the tree. I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player. I love it when you call me Big Papa. To the honeys getting money, playing niggas like dummies. I love it when you call me Big Papa. You got a gun up in your waist. Please don't shoot up the place. Wow. 'Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby.